Jesus. I need just a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus.
Hey, yeah, I need just a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus.
To help me along the way.
This is Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider, what does the Lord say regarding life's issues? Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, sponsor this program, follow us on Twitter, or even like us on Facebook. We can be found at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com.
Hey, Twyla, how you doing?
Hey, LJ Renee, I am blessed and highly favored, as they say. I am saddened by the recent events unfolding in our news, especially with the collapse of the bridge in Baltimore, Maryland. So tragic and devastating. So when we pray, I do want to keep that community and all of those families impacted by those who did not make it off that bridge. I want to keep them in prayer as we pray.
Amen. You know, if I can just say one thing about that, we just don't understand sometimes how an event like this affects so many lives and so many, your economy and all those things. We just don't think about that. And that's another thing that I thought about when I heard about that, those people that are mourning and grieving over those who were, who lost their lives, those who potentially could have lost their lives. I'm sure they're impacted, and now how it's going to impact the economy. So it is a good thing that we pray and consider all of those things as well.
And you know, it's also a reminder when you just said that, it's a reminder to each of us to be grateful every day, because you don't know what the day holds. You don't know what tomorrow holds. And you don't often stop and realize how extremely blessed beyond human comprehension that you are. So we want to give God praise and thanks every day, because he has been that good to us.
Amen. So I'm going to read this scripture. I'm going to take the scripture from Matthew 26, and we're going to start at the 52nd verse of that chapter. And the chapter or the verse I really want to concentrate on is verse 54, and I'll read that as well. In verse 52 from chapter 20, Matthew 26, it says, "Then Jesus told him, Then Jesus told him, put your sword away or back in its place, because all who take up the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot call on my Father and he will provide me here and now with more than 12 legions of angels? How then," this is verse 54, "how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way?"
Amen. Dear God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Father, for this great season in our society, in our world, this great leading up to the commemoration and the celebration of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that we have the blinders removed from our eyes and our spirit, that we see and know you as Lord and Savior. And I pray, oh God, that that so many millions more would see and know you as Lord and Savior today than did on yesterday. I pray that as we approach this great holy season, that the glory of God would be felt around the earth, and that your name would be magnified and praised. And we pray for those who were impacted by the collapse of that Baltimore, Maryland bridge, those who didn't make it off the bridge, those who are families of those who didn't make it off the bridge, the officials and the elected and appointed officials that now need to try to determine how best to rebuild and what next to do. We pray for the godly wisdom for all of them, that they would humble themselves under your mighty hand and be led by your Holy Spirit. Comfort them that mourn, O God, and let them know that even in this, you are yet God, you are yet good, and your mercy still endures forever. We love you today, and we thank you for the great, great sacrifice made at Calvary. You decided to die in our stead. And we bless your name today. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God, that you did just like you said you would. And we are grateful. Amen.
Amen. Amen. This particular scripture is in Matthew 26. Like I said, and from verses 52 down through 54. And the part that I liked about it, it says, so that the script, it just had to happen in order for the scriptures to be fulfilled. And really, when we read the word of God, and we go back into the Old Testament, we come up to the New Testament, Jesus, this was foretold in just about every book of the Bible, predicting or foretelling Jesus Christ will come into the world to save us from our sins. And so when you look in the book of Isaiah, I think it was around about the Isaiah 53, and the years that it said that this was foretold was hundreds of years before it actually happened. When we look in different other parts of the Bible, sometimes it's like 400 years. Just to know that what God says is going to happen, it's going to happen exactly that way, and it had to happen in order for us to be saved from our enemies or from the enemy, from the devil, that we could be delivered, that no longer sin could hold us bound, no longer can sickness or disease or any other thing that is adverse to God's word, then that could not hold us down. So it had to happen this way. And what I like about it is, and we always say this, is that God himself came down. And so we look at this and we say that, you know, he looked through many generations and saw you and me, and for the joy that was set before him, he said that he went through the cross. And that, to me, is awesome to know that this was predicted hundreds of years before it actually happened, and it was fulfilled through Jesus Christ.
I mean, the verse that you read that we like to focus on, you said, for it had to happen this way. So it happened just like he said. And that's really what we want to emphasize, is it's just like he said. No one can change the plan and the will of God, because the enemy thought he was crucifying Jesus. He thought he was destroying the will and the plan of God. He tried to do it even at the birth of Jesus. You know, when they called for a census and wanted all the male children to be killed. They tried to kill Jesus even at birth, but because the prophetic word had gone out, it had to happen just like he said. Jesus's death, you know, in case you didn't know, Jesus's death was not a punishment from the devil. It was not a punishment from the religious people of that day. But Jesus's death was his own divine plan that he had prophetically allowed to be foretold, as you mentioned, hundreds of years prior to it happening. But just know that this was God's plan, not the devil's. A lot of times when we have calamity and problems and disastrous things that happen in our life, we are so sure that the devil is attacking us, and so sure that the enemy is having his way in our life, and so sure that it is the absence of the presence of God. But I want you, when you get past it, you can look back with hindsight. Hindsight is always 20/20, as they say. But when you look back over your life, you can see the will and the plan of God unfolding, because what happens is God will take what the enemy meant for evil and he will turn it around for your good. So even the stuff that the devil thought was your defeat and thought was your demise and thought was his victory, God takes it and turns it around, and he makes it your victory and your celebration, and he makes it your rejoicing. So we just want you to be very mindful and very encouraged at the fact that the things in your life are happening just like God said.
And we have to, and while you were talking, what I was thinking is that we have to have that understanding of that. And I know sometimes when we're going through things, we ask God, why am I going through this? Or why is this happening to me? But it is in God's divine plan that we trust him going through the process, because there is purpose in all this. It's purposeful. And we have to understand that when God calls us to a certain place, or to do a certain thing, even when God is trying to remove some things out of us that will prevent us from achieving what God has called us to do, certain things have to happen in order for us, for God to work in our, and for him to work in our lives, and for his purpose to be worked out in our lives. So he's already planned it. He's gone before us. He knows what's going to happen. He knows where we are. And as a result, he knows the plan. He knows what you're going through. And to know that he's already, as the scripture said, so that this would be fulfilled, you had to go this route.
Had to go this route. And you know, one of the things I absolutely love about the plan and the will of God, I do program management for a living. And part of that is creating plans and executing plans and making sure things are organized and strategizing and delivering things on time. And, you know, there is no better blueprint than the Word of God. He spoke it, and he spoke it with detail and specificity, and then he made it happen. So he made a plan and he executed a plan. He is yet executing the plan that he spoke. And nothing can deter or change, hinder, block, stop that plan that he has written, because the Bible says that all of heaven will pass away and earth will be dissolved before one dot of an I or cross of a T of his word or his plan fails to come to pass. If he said it, he will do it. If he spoke it, he will make it good. It will happen just like he said. And just know, as we approach this great commemorative season of the death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, just know that no man, the Bible says clearly, it's not conjecture, it's not assumption, but the Bible says clearly in John 10:18, that no one can take my life from me, Jesus said. He said, I sacrifice it voluntarily. In Romans, he says, for the joy that was set before me, you are the joy that he saw thousands of years later. He saw that you'd be worshiping him and you'd be praising him and I'd be converted to him. And he said, no one can take my life, but I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to. So they not only can no man take it, they can't make it happen a day before I planned it. They can't make it happen a day later than I planned it. He said, I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and also to take it up again. This is what my Father has commanded. If you recall, when Jesus was walking the earth, there were many times when they came to get him because they wanted to crucify him. And one time the scripture says that he disappeared because it wasn't his time. Yeah, he just disappeared. They came to get him and he disappeared. So I know we always talk about Judas and the betrayal of Judas, but just know, even with the betrayal of Judas, He didn't give his life not a day sooner than he was supposed to. They didn't come get him not a second sooner than he was willing to voluntarily give his life. It happened just like he said.
And you know what? It happened just like he said. But then when you get to thinking about it, when you read his word and you read the events that happened that led up to that point where he was betrayed by Judas, and then Peter cut off the soldier's ear, and the Lord told Peter to put away the sword. All those events, like you said, they culminated to that point in time where he says, now is the time. And remember, I don't know if you remember the Passion of Christ, the Passion of the Christ, that movie. And you know, you see Mary getting word about Jesus, the things that have happened to him. And one of the words that she said, it has begun. It's that process. When we look at the word of God, all those things that happened, him, when they wanted to crucify him, when they wanted to beat him, when they wanted to, you know, search him out, none of that could happen at that point in time because he wasn't time. It all had to happen exactly the way that it was foretold and prophesied in the Old Testament leading up into the New Testament. Not one tittle of my word shall pass away without being fulfilled. And so this is exactly what he's talking about, is at this point in time that he had to suffer and he had to die. Why? Because of the joy that was set before him. And like you said, like I said, that the joy was me and you and everybody else. That's powerful.
It happened just like he said, that you cannot add anything to it, take anything away from it, dress it up, dress it down. It happened just like he said. He doesn't need us to help him make it look right or make it look good or fix up the story. It happened just like he said. And you know, one of the things I have always loved about the word of God and the righteousness and truth of the word of God is that Jesus was never afraid to give specifics and never afraid to give detail, because he knew it is going to happen just like he said. You know, sometimes we don't want to go into too many detail because we're like, well, I might not be able to do it just the way I want. So I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to get you a surprise. I might not be able to get you what I want. So I ain't going to go into detail about what it is just in case it doesn't. No. He gave specificity, every detail. He foretold everything, and it happened just like he said. And what we want to emphasize is that even in your life, there is nothing in your life that he has foretold or promised that will not happen according to his word. If he said it, he will do it. And if he spoke it, he will make it good, just like he said. Sometimes we think, oh, I don't know how, you know, I've been guilty of this in my life. I don't know how he's going to do that. The deadline is past. The time is come and gone. This just seems literally impossible, but it will happen just like he said. We don't want to be like Sarah and be caught laughing at the plan of God because it seems so literally impossible. He can do the impossible. He is the one who does miracles so well. He can do the impossible if he said it. If he said it, he will do it. And that's the one thing we just have to settle in our hearts, that God said it and that settles it. So we might as well believe it.
It's just like, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about Paul. And, you know, he there was one prophet that told him that he shouldn't go, because if he goes, he's going to be captured and he's going to be beaten. And, you know, he told him all the things that were going to happen. And Paul told him that he must go. He said, none of these things move me. And he knew that he had to go in spite of what he was going to endure. You know, he even said that he was, for five times, he was beaten with 49 stripes. I believe that's how many stripes he talked about. But he still had to go, because it was not only was it prophesied, but God told him to go. And there was a purpose in which he had to go in order to fulfill what God had said that, you know, said for him to do. And so when we look at that, what we have to look at ourselves and say, would we do that? Will we go when God tells us to go and God tells us to go? Will we go when we think that something is going to happen to us? When we think that maybe it's not going to be prosperous for us? Will we still go knowing that we may end up facing some opposition?
You know, and we do have to count up that cost and be willing to pay that price. Because even, you know, whenever there's great opportunity, the scripture says there's a great opportunity presented itself to me, but there was also great opposition. So Whenever there's an effectual door of opportunity, there is great opposition. So we have to be willing to count up the cost and pay the price, because you're never going to go through and suffer alone. He's always with you. And there's never anything that we go through or suffer that compares to what he ultimately went through and suffered. All of our suffering pales in comparison to the sacrifice he made at Calvary. So we just want to remember during this great, wonderful, I mean, we call it Good Friday because to us, it is a Good Friday. But when they were walking, living this and walking through it, it was a gloomy Friday. It was a day when they thought all their hope had been torn away. It was a day when they thought that the salvation they thought they had disappeared. The hope they had put their confidence in was gone. It was a day they thought the devil had crucified, the enemy had crucified Jesus. They didn't understand the prophecy, even though he told them that he would give his life, but in 3 days he would be raised up again. They didn't quite understand it at that point. And so the Bible said many of them backslid, many of the disciples backslid. They were so depressed and so discouraged and so despondent that many of them decided that they were going to go back to doing the things they used to do before they met Jesus. And I want you to know that don't you dare give up, and don't you dare quit, and don't you dare turn around, and don't you dare think that because it looks dark and feels dark and seems dark, that it is dark, because it's not. Jesus is still the light of the world, and he still will bring to pass what he said. And you think, well, how's he going to do it? They are crucifying him on a cross because he said, no man takes my life, but I voluntarily give it up. And the same way I give it up, I will pick it back up when I'm good and ready. That's what he said. And so just know that in your life, no matter how dark it is and how difficult it seems, God is yet in control.
God is yet in control. He said, this is what he told. He told, was it Paul or the disciples? He told them, he said, listen, it has to happen this way. He said, because I could pray to my father and he'll send 12,000, he'll send 12 legions of angels to protect me. He said, but it had to happen this way. And we have to remember that it has to happen the way that God says it has to happen. And everything that he speaks is going to be fulfilled. But not only that, but it's going to be to the good. He says, you know, all things work to the good of those who love me and called according to my purpose. He is going to work to your good. It's going to work to our good. Whatever he spoke.
Amen. And 12 legions of angels. I believe he was just saying a number just as an example, because he could have called every angel from heaven down to him. But the truth is, you know, I even find that scripture very interesting, because he didn't even need an angel. He said, I lay down my life, I take it up. I don't need an angel to come rescue me. I can rescue myself. But it with all that power and all that authority to allow himself to suffer at the hands of those he created, those that he had power and authority over, but he still subjected himself to the death to death on the cross for your sins and my sins. What a great and wonderful sacrifice.
It had to be done that way.
It had to be done.
It had to be done that way. You know, because you think
he needed a spotless, sinless sacrifice. And
yes.
He was the only one that could fill that bill.
And he had to come into the earth through a woman. You know what I'm saying? All this thing, he doesn't violate his own laws. He doesn't violate his laws.
It had to happen, just like he said.
But it had to, because he's rich in wisdom, infinite wisdom and knowledge and understanding. He knew. By the fact, the Bible says that the devil had a known.
Woo, hey. If the devil had known, he would have been trying to keep Jesus alive.
Come on now. But it had to happen this way. He couldn't have done it, you know, any other way, like just to be thinking.
I don't know if you remember, because you make reference a lot to the Passion of the Christ. I don't know if you remember the one scene. I think he was in, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, but I'm not sure. Maybe he was in the wilderness, but I do remember he was alone somewhere. And the devil, the character that played the devil, was coming, and I think he was praying. I do remember he
was. Yes,
it was. Because the devil was like, who is this? And, you know, mm-hmm. He's walking around musing like, what is he doing? He's very, you know, he's trying to figure him out, because he didn't understand the plan and the will of God that was being unfolded right before his eyes. It had to happen that way. He thought he was getting the upper hand, but what he was doing was helping to usher in the plan and the will of God. God will take what the enemy meant for evil every time and turn it around for your good. Don't worry. Don't worry when it looks like you're losing, because in the end, I know we are winners and overcomers and more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. He is still keeping his promises. He will still do just what he said.
Amen. Amen and amen. It had to happen. Just think about your own life. You know, just, you know, you can meditate on some things, and you look back over, and you know, after you've gone through it, you look back over and say, it had to happen this way. I had to go through this. Matter of fact, David even said that, and I can't remember the exact scripture that he was talking about, but he said it was good for me to be afflicted, you know, because now he sees, and it's just that it had to happen in that way. When we look back over our lives,
that's what the song said. When I look back over my life and I begin to think things over, sometimes now when you look back, hindsight is always 20/20. When you look back on your life and think things over, you know that God's plan was unfolding. And when you were nervous and worried and anxious, he was working his plan and his will out. You didn't see it, you couldn't feel it, but it was happening.
And you know, just like I was just thinking how sometimes when people don't have their fathers, or their fathers are not active in their lives, and they wonder why, you know, and it's always good. God made men, male and female, to be married and have children. But then there's sometimes, you know, sometimes I think, and it's just me, when, you know, you're encountering this relationship that is like, if you said, if I just had a father, where is he? But what if his responsibility was just to get you into the earth? And he fulfilled that promise. I know somebody might say, that's crazy, but just look at this. You know, he even though things may not have worked out the way that you thought it was going to work, and even though you might have unforgiveness in your heart toward that man or that father, just know that you had to come here. And the only way you were coming here is through your father and your mother coming together. God has a plan for you. So you can't just be stuck on just that one thing, but just to know it had to happen in order for you to come this way. God has a plan for your life, and the past is not going to affect your future if you don't allow it. But God has a plan for you.
Amen. And you know, sometimes we don't always know what that plan is. And you might not know until you get to, well, you will know the plan of God for your life, because you need to fulfill it, but you don't know the why he took you the way.
That's right.
time. And the Bible says that we see through a glass darkly. Sometimes you're not, he's not going to reveal it to you. The song says, farther along, we'll understand why. So sometimes you may not understand the why or the how, but just know that it's happening the way that he said. And no one can thwart the plan and the will of God in your life. And we pray that all of us have confidence and faith to know that if he said it, he will do it. And if he spoke it, he will bring it to pass. He guards his word to perform it. Not one of all of his glorious promises has ever fallen to the ground unfulfilled.
And he'll never return to his boy.
It will not return to him void. He will do exactly what he said, just like he said, just when he said, just how he said. And he is never fearful to give specificity about his word, because he will fulfill it just like he said.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word that you've given us. God, we thank you for the accounts of Jesus, dear Lord, when he was headed on his way to the cross. Oh God, we thank you for those words that he spoke, that this it had to happen this way in order for the scriptures to be fulfilled. And dear God, we recognize that you have a plan for our lives, oh God. And sometimes, God, when we are on this journey, we don't understand why we got to go through things we have to go through, especially when it looked like things are just negative and not working out. But God, in the end, oh God, it happens the way you bring it to a good end, God, and it had to happen this way. Oh Father, in the name of Jesus, that your plan will be fulfilled in our lives. Father, we thank you. I pray that our lives, Father, impact many lives, oh Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And those things that we experienced, oh Father, along the way, that God, it will be a testimony to those who may be going through as well, to know that God, that they are going to come out, dear Father God, and the way that you have purposed them, in the name of Jesus, for your word never fails. So Father, we just thank you right now, and we just honor you, and God, we glorify your name. This I can continue to pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
For tuning in, this has been Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? Come visit us at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We'd like you to join us for morning prayer. Follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook. Even see how you can sponsor this show. Again, it's www.whatdoesthelordsay.com.